Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole-body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Good morning and welcome to Sunday Take. Today is December 7th, 2025. It's been a week, a little chilly, warmed up, a little snow. Winter is officially here, but that didn't mean politics weren't a little hot this week. And, you know, it is one of those things that when you cover it every day and you watch it so closely, it does you well to pull back and really get perspective. And that's what I tried to do this week. That's what I encourage others to do, because if you're so close to it and you listen to this show, you'll know that I think it's not always healthy to be into the news of the day so deep every day that it affects your emotions. It affects all of your life, because if you make it around the cities, people are holiday shopping. They're having holiday parties. Kids were home for Thanksgiving. Kids have holiday concerts. It's high school hockey season. There's plenty to go going on that is not about politics. This week, we continue our deeper conversations, especially with folks running in 2026. This past week, Chris Madel announced he's running. We previewed that last week. He'll be a future guest on the show, I'm sure. And then Mike Lindell, Mr. MyPillow, filed paperwork, expected to announce in the coming weeks that he is too running for governor. I frankly think he should have run for U.S. Senate. Feels like Republicans are missing a high profile candidate there. And that would allow kind of like Herschel Walker or Dr. Oz, some of these MAGA Republicans to rally more. Kind of in a more focused way on the Senate race. And Minnesota Republicans are still searching for a competitive, more mainstream Senate candidate. But the race on the DFL side, too, is heating up. You had Pete Buttigieg endorse Angie Craig. And, you know, Peggy Flanagan has had Elizabeth Warren's race. Minnesota is one of the races that Democrats are watching nationally. And frankly, they're dividing themselves up from the progressives to the more moderates in that race. It's something we'll watch very closely. The other piece that is out there is the mayor's race and how it's come together. Mayor-elect Colley Herr getting her team organized, and a lot of buzz about how, what kind of mayor she's going to be and what she can do for St. Paul quickly. But the story of the week was certainly the national narrative about President Trump focused on Minnesota, ICE focused on Minnesota. That'll be the subject of the take this week, because how could it not be? I will be for civility all day long, and we lacked it this past week. If we stop calling it out, we normalize it, and we can't do that. But this week, my guest is Ron Schutz. He's running for attorney general. He's a Republican. He's a well-established lawyer in town, part of the Robbins firm. He's thought about running for office before, but he's decided this is the time. He's hoping to defeat Keith Ellison, who Republicans see as somebody they want to beat regularly. They've thought they could beat him before, but they didn't. Ken Ron Schutz do it? You'll get to know him when we come back on the Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCCO.
A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between thinking about photography school and selling your portraits online. It's the difference between giving away those cookies you just made for free and running your cookie empire. A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between having a movie reviewing hobby and a movie reviewing career. Squarespace, because no matter what you're into, a website makes it real. Use offer code THEDIFFERENCE for 30% off select plans. Terms and conditions apply.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Sunday Take. My guest this week for an extended conversation is Ron Schutz. He's running for Attorney General. He's a Republican. He's a longtime, well-regarded partner at a law firm here in the Twin Cities. I will say that I'd heard his name a few times before about running for office, but this time he's pulled the trigger. He's decided to jump in and he joins me now. Ron, thanks for joining me on Sunday Take.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Let's just start with, I know you, but our listeners should get to know you better. Where you're from, how long you've practiced law, the type of law you've practiced, and what it means to put your name in the ring to be Attorney General.
Sure. I have spent most of my life in Minnesota. I was raised on a dairy farm in southwestern Minnesota, outside of a small town called Adrian. Many of listeners probably have not heard of Adrian, but it's between Worthington and Laverne on Interstate 90, the extreme southwestern part of the state. I went to a small town high school, had kind of a typical small town high school growing up, played sports in between working on a dairy farm, which was a great upbringing, but not something I wanted to do after I got out of high school. During high school, the most significant thing that has impacted my life was I met my wife, Janet. We're high school sweethearts. Started dating when we were sophomores, and that, of course, has been such an important part of my life. I went to college at Marquette University on an Army ROTC scholarship. I studied engineering, and after I graduated from law school, I asked the Army if I could, after I graduated from college, I asked the Army if I could go to law school and then come in and serve my four-year commitment. The Army said yes. I took that opportunity, went to the University of Minnesota here, graduated, and then went into the United States Army Judge Advocate General Corps for 4 years. I was stationed at Fort Ord in California. It was a large infantry division where I spent the first half of my legal career out there doing defense work and the second half being a prosecutor. And the cases I handled were typical felony level cases. If you were to look at a military court martial on one of the cases I handled, whether it was a rape case, a drug case, child molestation case, you would not notice any difference than you would if you were looking at a similar trial in a Hennepin County courtroom, except the people inside the courtroom are wearing uniforms. After I completed my military service, I came back to Minnesota and went into private practice, almost all of it at Robbins Kaplan, a 200 lawyer law firm here in Minneapolis, where I had held various leadership positions in the law firm, including being chairman of the law firm from 2019 to 2025. I've had a great career, tried a lot of cases, have earned a lot of awards, accolades, and recognitions. So I'm very grateful for all of that. That's kind of a thumbnail sketch.
When you were at Robbins, what was the primary part of your practice? Any big cases people should know about? What drove you to the law? What intrigued you about the law? People aren't lawyers. They don't rise to that occasion unless they have a passion or an interest in a certain part of the law.
When I was a boy growing up, on a farm in southwestern Minnesota, we only had three television channels. That may date me a little bit, but yeah, it wasn't that long ago that we only had three television channels. And if you saw representations on television of people in the professions, it was usually either doctors or lawyers.
Yep.
I did not want to be a doctor. I love to read. I love to talk. And so I thought, well, be a lawyer. So I didn't have any lawyers in my family. I didn't know any lawyers. And the only lawyers I knew were on TV. That's kind of what drew me to that. Of course, the more I learned about what lawyers actually do, the more interested I was in becoming a lawyer. In terms of the practice areas where I practiced and the kind of cases, it's actually been quite diverse. I probably am best known, at least on a national level, with my reputation for doing a lot of intellectual property cases, primarily patent litigation. I have an engineering degree, so the technology aspect of those cases is not intimidating to me. In fact, it's intriguing. And I have frequently represented the little guy in battles against larger corporations. I know that the Democrats would like to paint me as someone who represents, you know, corporate America, but usually I'm suing corporate America. The case that really launched my career as a young lawyer was a patent infringement case that I filed against General Electric at the time, run by Jack Welch, considered to be the most powerful corporation, if not only in America, perhaps the world. I represented the inventor of the MRI machine. It was a knockdown, drag out battle that could take up an entire episode. I could tell you so many stories from that.
Oh, I bet.
Time for it. But the bottom line of that was, at age 39, which in the legal profession is just kind of really getting rolling on big cases, I won a $110 million jury verdict.
Wow.
That was at a time when $110 million was a lot of money. And ultimately General Electric, resolved that case after all the appeals ran out and wrote our client a check for $128 million, and it saved that company. It was transforming for that small company to have that infusion of cash and recognition that General Electric had used their technology without a license. And I've also done a lot of, you know, commercial type litigation, again, generally representing David in the David versus Goliath battles.
As you think about those cases, you think about the times we're in right now as a guy from a dairy farm. Think about big companies now. Think about how attorney generals have pushed back, whether Republican or Democrat, against price issues. You know, the idea that there are monopolies or monopolistic style behavior, antitrust issues. I think about the agriculture community in particular, has been so consolidated that farmers are frustrated that they, you know, only have a few people to get fertilizer from. How do you think of those cases in today's market if you became attorney general?
That's a great question, boys. And it's somewhat of a balancing act, kind of recognizing from an economic perspective, just what's happening in the world today and global competition and how American companies frequently need to be big to compete on the global stage. And then, of course, you have to balance that with whether these large companies using their market share and their capital resources are thwarting competition or thwarting startups. And attorney generals certainly have a role to play in that regard. If they think that people are engaging in unfair business practices, it's difficult as I sit here to paint with a broad brush who might be subject to that kind of enforcement action. But on a case specific basis, that's certainly something that falls within the attorney general's purview.
In when you think about that, just from a legal perspective, because I you brought it up, and I just want to advance it, because these are the types of issues that our listeners, if they're a farmer, if they're a small business owner, one of the other issues is, you know, swipe fees and credit cards for small businesses, where, you know, big business has a certain amount of leverage. When you view that either in your current role or as attorney general, representing the public, what does that mean in the law as you learned it? And what does that mean in the law today when you look at attorneys general across the country?
It's again, it comes down to a balancing act of representing the public, representing the people of Minnesota, but also recognizing private property rights and that everybody is entitled to their day in court. And that's regardless of whether it's David in the David versus Goliath battle or whether it's Goliath. And I am a firm believer in our judicial system, in the adversary system. And I believe that if you've got cases that are well litigated in front of judges or juries, that the right decision is going to come out. And it's not always that the little guy wins and the bad guy loses. It's sometimes, and that may frequently be the case, but that's not always the case.
Before we take the break here, Ron, the law has been, I'll use my term, kind of weaponized in politics the last few years by both sides. Okay. And this is not a both sidesism debate for listeners who like to text me that. This is more of a, you know, both parties have used the courts to use executive power to push back against executive power, both especially during the Biden administration, now during the Trump administration. How do you think of, you know, the politics of the law and how the law has gotten even more political, I think, publicly political over these last few years?
I think it's unfortunate that the law has been weaponized or politicized, as you say. If I become attorney general, one of the guiding principles I'm going to have before I take any action whatsoever is to ask the question, is this in the best interest of Minnesota? All right. And is it in the best interest of the citizens of Minnesota? The other question I will ask, and I think this question is unfortunately seldom asked, but it's a question that when I was chairman of my law firm, I insisted that we answer with every significant decision we take. And that is, what are the unintended consequences if we take this action? Too frequently, people will just take some action, file some lawsuit, without thinking about what are the long-term unintended consequences, what are the policy considerations. And I can assure you that if I become attorney general, we're going to take a deep dive into those things. We're not just going to do things with a knee-jerk reaction.
When we come back, I want to dive into the attorney general's race, why Ron is running, what he thinks needs to change in the attorney general's office, and if there are things he agrees with, but what also he disagrees with Attorney General Ellison. You're listening to Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WC.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today and let us surprise you.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
CCO. We are back on Sunday Take. My guest is Ron Schutz. He's an attorney at the Robbins firm. He's running for attorney general. Talked about who you are, your philosophy on the law, Ron. Why do you want to be attorney general of Minnesota? And what What do you offer that Keith Ellison doesn't offer?
I think that Minnesota deserves a real lawyer as its attorney general and not a politician. Keith Ellison runs that office as if he's a politician. I think that he's soft on crime. I think he's turned a blind eye to fraud. I think that he's hostile to law enforcement. And I could go on and on with Keith Ellison's shortcomings. I will not make the office a politicized office. Right now, it's basically an arm of the DFL party. I think in terms of qualifications, I don't think there's any doubt that my qualifications as a lawyer are far superior to Keith Ellison's qualifications as a lawyer. And I would ask Minnesotans to examine our qualifications just on the basis that we're lawyers and ask themselves this question. If I were in a legal pickle, a significant legal pickle, and I had to walk into court, would I want to walk into court with Ron Schutz or would I want to walk into court with Keith Ellison? And I submit to you, they'd rather walk into court with the lawyer, in other words, me, instead of the politician.
So one of the places that Keith Ellison has, quote, walked into court is pushing back against a lot of these Trump executive orders. Are there executive orders from the executive branch, from the presidency, that you would not feel pressure to either push back against or look at? Where does the state's view sit when pushing it back against the federal government in these political times?
I am so glad you asked me that question, boys, because I think that there's some important context that's required here. Keith Ellison brags that he has sued the Trump administration approximately 40 times. I've looked at those cases and let's take 40 as the number. Of the 30, take 38 of those cases, 38 of those cases have been filed in a state other than Minnesota. They have frequently been filed by the Attorney General of California, the Attorney General of New York, the Attorney General of Massachusetts, or the Attorney General of Washington State in Delaware. Or they've been filed in Massachusetts, or sometimes New York, or sometimes Washington State. Keith Ellison joins those lawsuits. Then he issues a press release claiming that he's filed these cases against the Trump administration, hoping to take the public's eye off of all the problems we have here in Minnesota. I would ask this question. If he were really interested in protecting Minnesotans against what Donald Trump is doing, why isn't he filing those cases in Minnesota to be heard by a Minnesota judge and a Minnesota jury? Because he's not doing that. He's filing them in Delaware, or joining cases filed in Delaware, because they have a friendly court out there that they know, at least in the first instance, before the case gets on appeal, the judges in Delaware will rule against the president.
This is not new. During the Biden administration, Republican attorney generals would file cases against the president when it was Joe Biden, including on issues like student loans. There was a 7-state Republican coalition that did that. How do you vet those cases? How do you decide whether or not that's the best use of the office or not the best use of the office? And has it gone too far?
I think the premises of your question provide the answer. In other words, those cases need to be vetted. The analysis that we're going to do is, if we're going to join in a case against, let's say there's a Democratic administration, we're going to join with other Republican AGs, is that in the best interest of Minnesota? And if it is, do we want to file our own separate case where we have complete control over it in Minnesota? I'm a firm believer in controlling everything you can control, which means that I will default to filing cases in Minnesota as opposed to joining other attorney generals filing a case somewhere else.
When you look at fraud, you raised the issue before. It's in the headlines this week in a big way. One of the big issues that behind the scenes people are talking about, I haven't heard the public talk about it as much, is that it was the federal government that really tackled fraud. Former U.S. Attorney Andy Lugar said, we have tools that the state doesn't have. Do you think the Minnesota Attorney General needs new tools, or does the Attorney General, once they find out the feds are investigating, defer because the feds have more resources?
I think that, especially if you're talking about the fraud that's been in the news lately, the Feeding Our Future fraud, Keith Ellison just, he not only turned a blind eye to it, 4 weeks before the feds raided the Feeding Our Future offices, he was meeting with some of the future defendants in that case, ultimately took campaign contributions from them. They were meeting with him because they were complaining that the state was mistreating them because they were East Africans. And Keith Ellison said, that's wrong. It's piddly stuff that they're trying to do to you, and I'll do what I can to help. He was willfully blind. There's no way he was going against them. He tries to claim he was involved and helped the feds. I'm waiting to see the documentary evidence of that, the emails between him and the U.S. attorney, what he did to cooperate, because he simply did not. Okay. And the U.S. attorney's office certainly has certain tools to him. The Minnesota Attorney General has incredibly broad tools. Among other things, by statute, the Attorney General is the primary regulatory authority of nonprofits in Minnesota. And a lot of these entities that committed the fraud were nonprofits. He could have gone completely through their records and shut them down with not a whole lot of legal effort. He wasn't even looking.
As you look at the Justice Department in D.C., the transformation, obviously, federal court system, judges, where do you think we are in terms of the judicial branch remaining as impartial, as a strong third branch of government, co-equal branch, kind of in the, you know, in the school of checks and balances? Have we lost ground on the judicial branch, or is it still strong enough to push back against the legislative and executive branch?
I think that by and large, the judicial branch remains an independent force that, you know, exercises that independence and pushes back when needed. There are judges that President Trump has appointed that have ruled against him. There are judges that he has ruled that have ruled for him.
Looking forward again, the Minnesota AG's office has had a long history of consumer work, defending Minnesota consumers. There's been a couple cases in recent times. Minnesota Rusco comes to mind, you know, fraudulent contractors, you know, non-government fraud, but actual on behalf of people who have been wronged by a business. Is that important? How important is it? And does that, you know, if you had to divide up the resource of the office, how much is criminal prosecution? How much is, you know, making sure that consumers are protected?
As I understand it from the data that's available to me when I checked, the Attorney General's office has about 200 lawyers, and they represent every department and agency in the state. What they do is actually quite broad. One piece of what they do is consumer protection. And that's not going to change when I become Attorney General. And I would argue I will probably be better and more aggressive at consumer protection than Keith Ellison, simply because I'm a better lawyer. And I've got a track record of going after large companies, winning huge awards against them. And I submit that if they say, you know, some bad actor sees me on the other side of a case, they're going to be more afraid of me than they are of Keith Ellison.
Tone and tenor in these races is big. We're in the middle of a week when Minnesota is in the national spotlight. President of the United States has insulted Somali Minnesotans, has used, you know, is called the governor a slur of disability. What can you guarantee, or what do you assure Minnesotans about the tone of the race, and B, anything you want to say about the way the president has talked about other individuals from Minnesota this week?
Well, first, and I think the audio tape will confirm this, I don't think I have used any ad hominem attacks against Keith Ellison. I think I've simply asserted I'm a better lawyer than he is. I think he's been asleep at the switch, but I haven't called him names, and I don't intend to call him names. It's just not my style. My style is not the president's style. I'm not going to go out of my way to paint entire populations with a broad brush. It's just not me.
Minnesota tensions have been high this year, the assassination of Melissa Hortman, things like that. You've been long involved in the Republican Party of Minnesota. Are there things as leaders or as media or as others that we need to do to tone down the rhetoric in the next year?
Well, as someone who's a candidate for public office, I'm going to try to not inject the kind of rhetoric that people complain about. Again, I'm going to try to take on Keith Ellison on the merits of his policies, the merits of his capabilities and the like, but I'm not going to call him names. I hope he doesn't call me names, but I'm just one candidate. There are a lot of people in the governor's race and I can't control what they do. So my impact on the total rhetoric, we'll see if it has much of an impact or not.
Do you know Keith at all? Do you know the attorney general at all? Have you guys exchanged things, been on panels, any kind of dialogue on the law over the years?
We have not.
Got it. All right. My last question is really a little more obtuse. You know, I think there's parts of the attorney general's office that has external influences. And we've seen this across the country. We have conservative legal groups that bring research and cases to conservative attorney generals. We have liberal groups that partner with attorney generals and Democratic AGs. How do you view outside groups bringing cases or bringing strategies to an office that is arguably supposed to be independent once you're elected?
Although the office is certainly independent and I really only report to the voters, it is by necessity an office that has finite resources. And if there are external groups that have resources and research and insight into data that our office doesn't have, I certainly would welcome that being presented. I'm pretty confident that based on my legal experience, my training and education, I'm going to be able to sort the wheat from the chaff when it comes to that.
And does that require a transparency with the public?
As a general rule, probably, but it's going to be case specific. It's hard to just answer that question with a one size fits all answer.
All right. Well, as a big transparency guy, I will just tell you that it's my general view that if outside groups are providing information to the government, we should know it. And that it, if it's being used in a case or there's, you know, loaned attorneys or something like that, that the public should know it. So be ready.
I agree with you on that. And you mentioned loaned attorneys. We've got at least two in the attorney general's office that are on loan just to do environmental litigation from a Bloomberg backed program at NYU Law School.
Yeah, no, I do. And it's one of the things that has not gotten as much attention. And it's just like if a governor had outside help in his office that he didn't pay for or a legislator, I think people would be a little more focused on that. And so it's, I think, one of the outside issues of this race. But we have, you know, 11 months to talk about this, Ron. And so I look forward to a few more conversations and probably a debate or two.
Right. I'm more than happy to come on, boys, anytime you'll have me.
Sounds great. Ron Schutz, he's running for attorney general. He's a Republican, and he's joined me here on Sunday Take. When we come back, this week's take, it's been an intense week with Minnesota in the national spotlight and Minnesotans on the ground really trying to wrap their heads around what's going on. I'll give my take when we come back on News Talk 830 WCCO. Welcome back to Sunday Take. That was Ron Schutz there in that interview. That AG's race will be one of the top three or four statewide races to watch next year. Expect national money to come in on both sides, both for Democrats and Republicans. Keith Ellison has long been the candidate that Republicans wanted to beat. And it'll be interesting to see if that race gets more crowded or if Ron Schutz is the only mainstream Republican to face off against Attorney General Keith Ellison. This week's take feels repetitive. But the reality is, we have to keep calling it out. And more so than ever, the reason we have to keep calling it out is something that we've unfortunately lived here in Minnesota. I called it out when Melissa Hortman was assassinated and said that for all of those people who believe in the honor of serving in the military or the honor of serving as a police officer or a firefighter in public service, regardless of our politics, we have to understand that our elected officials too are public servants. 10 years ago, it was shocking when Donald Trump began to use the language about his opponents that he did. The insults that he hurled, the mockery he made. But Republicans lost, and now they are his allies. People like Marco Rubio. I got to tell you, if you mocked me that hard, I would have a hard time building loyalty. So you see, loyalty is one of the values that I place at the top of the list in business and relationships. But I can't find loyalty to those folks who insulted me. And while that language and the name calling that President Trump has made normal is no longer as shocking, it's because there have not been political consequences. And so with my analyst hat on, I say it's part of the divisive nature, but it hasn't made a difference. It's still issues like the economy, the cost of goods, tariffs, that I think will make the biggest impact in next year's election. But when Donald Trump called Governor Walz the R word this week, it wasn't shocking. What is shocking and what is part of what we have to watch is the proliferation of the memes afterwards. It's the proliferation of those memes that keeps feeding the anger, the bitterness, the partisanship in a way that is not civil. I would even argue that it's the lowest part of humanity. Making fun of politicians isn't new, but the proliferation of the memes in social media, the AI-generated stuff, only fuels the brains of those folks who are too wound up about these issues. It gets them fired up. And trust me, they're in my streams. They're in my X streams. I've been as harsh a critic as anyone on Governor Walz. From the New York Times story to the Wall Street Journal story to Lou Ragusa's timeline this week, I think it is all valid, legitimate issues. But what is unhealthy, and we've seen it here in Minnesota, and for conservatives, it's the same evil that assassinated Charlie Kirk. It's mocking. If we mock our politicians, we're mocking our governing, we're mocking our government. Pew had a new poll out this week. The trust in government is at an all-time low. Shocking. Well, if we mock our government more than we investigate it, more than we honor it, more than we point to things that they do well, we're going to get the government we deserve. And if we celebrate the mocking, we're going to get the candidates that we deserve. Now, for conservatives who want me to highlight the language that Governor Walz has used against Republicans, like Gestapo, I've been deeply, deeply concerned and frankly surprised that Team Tim can't tone it down. After the assassination of Melissa Hortman, he said he would, but he hasn't. It's this adrenaline shot that they, the elected officials, the politicians get. Because if they get more likes and they get more hearts on Instagram, it feeds not just their ego, but it feeds their adrenaline. But what it's really doing is feeding the downfall of democracy and decency and civility. And so I want you to bring this and play it to somebody who is celebrating those memes. They're not funny, because the people who don't know the difference are the people who believe them, amplify them, and ultimately wire their brain to hate the other side. And in this season, the holiday season, the Christmas season, the Hanukkah season, may we stop mocking and start pulling back and being kind, opening doors, being decent. It's a little ironic that the transportation commissioner would say, let's be kind on planes. Let's dress up. But kindness isn't in our leaders' voices. And so as we get ready for 2026, which will be a heated race, there won't be mockery. There will be kindness. Because if we don't pace ourselves, the downfall in trust in government is only going to go further. And I'm not sure democracy can afford it. I will be with Vinita Monday through Thursday. Next week's Sunday Take, we'll probably have a conversation. We are actually efforting to get the governor on the show for the first time in a long time. There seems to be an openness to make that happen. We'll preview it hard when it happens. You can always catch our stuff at thedailyagenda.com. I hope you have a great Sunday. Stay warm. Stay safe.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
What if the thing you're listening to right now never got interrupted? What if it could play uninterrupted from room to room on Sonos? What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? What if you really like how it feels and you become a Sonos person who can't stop saying to their friends, what if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? Because it's not magic, but it's not not magic.